following production of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
The following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
Newton in the pocket, pressured and hit, and down he goes!
Von Miller!
He is devoured on the plate!
Von Miller!
Von Miller!
That's super defense!
The Denver Broncos are world champions.
Who cares?
It'll be interesting to see how Peyton handles this.
I'm going
to
drink a lot of Budweiser tonight.
What's the score?
Give me an F. Give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't matter.
Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby. Puppy monkey baby.
Romo's got a run out and is hit in the back. Oh, he's hurt. He got bent in half, and Tony Romo's hurt.
What do you think?
We'll go balls out with this.
We don't have time for all that.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
I only can control what I can control. I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Football's become soft. Football's become soft like our country has become soft.
Dad, I don't know what the hell catch is anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous.
D to the I to the LL to the Y to the ARD. What up, bitch? It's Tilliard here.
Yeah? He's gonna stick his knuckle in your asshole.
You like that?
That's gay.
Representing.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Duh.
My God, we are ready for the football.
Take that, mother.
And now, here's John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Everything I am is an illusion. Everything I am.
The offside penalty will be enforced on number 25. Trainers came onto the field to attend kicker number 2. This will be a charged fourth timeout for Buffalo. Number 2 will have to leave the game.
My goodness. Which means they can't try the field goal, or they're going to have somebody else try the field goal. And the players are going to the locker room. They think it's halftime.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
They should have had a 15-yard penalty on roughing the kicker here.
Hartman's effort to bring an end to a wild first half. And fittingly, it is good.
What a kick.
Whoa, but fittingly, they took too much time. Is that possible?
Prior to the snap, delay of game.
Oh, my goodness.
Offense, 5-yard penalty.
But the official didn't back away from the football until there was 5 seconds left on the play clock. And a knuckle ball that is no good. Rex Ryan looked like he couldn't decide whether he wanted to give the official an earful on the way off or just walk off. And he decided restraint was the better way to go.
Rex Ryan looked like if he'd have had a gun, I think he would have shot.
I would have backed him, too. Shoot that son of a bitch. Seriously. I mean, you know, dude, I'm not going to say that the refs cheat for Seattle, because I'm sure the noise gets to them, too, with their old fucking addled brains. Because, God damn it, up there all the time they do the stupidest shit that favors the Seahawks. I think it's all a big... You know how they say there's makeup calls? I think it's all because of that stupid Super Bowl against the Steelers where they got screwed so bad.
Right.
Right. The NFL went, look, we'll make it up for you, all right? We'll give you like 6 years worth.
They did get screwed in that Super Bowl, too.
Yeah. God, what's that been, like 10 years now, right?
Holy yeah, shit. Against Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Tom, he's John, this is Bang Radio Hour number 284. Coming up, NFL wags be tweeting, John.
Oh, they be tweeting.
They be tweeting.
I be tweeting at Bang Radio Hour. I be tweeting.
A Cleveland Browns guarantee.
Yeah, I think so. We're getting close.
Fans are nuts. This country is nuts. Stephen A. Yeah. goes nuts. And the yeah. biggest parties of all time. And I can't wait to talk about that. This is going to be great. Right. But let's get to the Seahawks-Bills game. You know, we just played the audio there from the end of the first half. Coming mm-hmm. into the show. So, the Seahawks beat the Bills 31-25. It was Monday night. And, you know, the Bills got cheated out of a field goal. Everybody on the planet knows they got cheated out of a field goal. I don't care who says what. We all know it. At yeah. the end of the first half, because Richard Sherman, if you didn't see it, I don't know where you've been, but Richard Sherman, you know, the cornerback for the Seahawks, he made contact with the Bills kicker, Dan Carpenter, on a field goal
That's
attempt.
Putting it mildly.
Well, yeah.
He assaulted right. the kicker's knee.
Okay, but he was offsides, and that right. was the problem, because what happened is... you know, he comes rushing around on the field goal attempt.
Right.
And he literally did. He reached down. The first thing that happened was he touched the ball. It was still on the tee.
Okay.
He touched the ball and caused it to wobble. And then the right. kicker came up to kick it, and Sherman was there, and, you know, it was a crush. He crushed him.
Smashed him right in the damn kneecap.
Now, John.
Without his hands out.
Here's the thing, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let me play this clip of Sherman first, because I believe he explains it in this clip. He's talking about, you know, the rules of the game and everything, and
right.
the play where he hit the kicker, because when he hit him, all he got called for was offsides, and Carpenter right. was hurt, so he couldn't then get up.
Right.
You know, they got
right.
a 5-yard penalty. He's going to get up. You would think, you know, well, okay, now he gets it's even a shorter kick, but he's unable to go. He's laying on the ground. He tries to jump up. Like, he is able to do it, but he didn't. It wasn't that he was hurt and needed to. It's just because he didn't get up quick enough, they make you leave the field.
No, the trainers came onto the field. Extraneous people came onto the field. That means you got to get up and go. And yeah, there is like a time limit that I don't understand what it is that makes you have to get up. I think it's like one of those common sense things.
Well, yeah, no, it's as if the ref blows the whistle because you're down, that's it. You have to leave the field for a play. But right. in this case, all right, since he hurt him on an offsides penalty, everybody's going, that should be roughing the kicker. That should be roughing the kicker. Now let me play you what Richard Sherman said.
I went to block the kick. I'm not going to let him make a kick. So when it called off sides, I'm not going to let him have a free play. So that's not how I played. They didn't blow the whistle, so I played until the whistle was blown. I went straight for the ball. I didn't go for the kicker. I slid for the ball. He should have not kicked it, you know. Maybe he wanted to, you know. I went for the ball. That's where I went. So when the ball gets tipped on the play, the rule is if it's tipped, there's no flag.
And he is correct about that. So now
they didn't blow the whistle.
Well, no, not only that, but now I don't know if it makes a difference if you're offsides, because he said it, and that's true. If you hit that ball, there is no roughing. You can destroy the kicker as long as you get the ball.
Not only that, but once on it when it's offsides, what happens if it's an offensive play? Oh, it's a free play, and they throw it deep. Right? Just they heave that son of a bitch most of the time because it's a free play. You're going to get whatever you get, or you get 5 yards.
On a defensive penalty, yeah, like offsides, yeah.
Or for offsides, in particular for offsides. And that's what he was. He was offsides.
Right.
So they didn't blow the whistle, you know? They didn't blow the whistle. So I guess if they didn't blow the whistle, there's nothing to stop him from doing that. It's just the kicker's stupid fault for kicking him. See, that's the problem right there. The kicker should be goddamn fined for kicking Richard Sherman. These goddamn kickers have been getting away with this shit for too long. Roger Goodell, if there's another rule that we need, that's it right now.
So Carpenter goes off the field for one play. They come up to the line. They just do a quick spike because they still had another down. So now they've got 1-2 seconds left on the clock to kick the field goal. So now they bring Carpenter back out.
Mm-hmm.
But they forgot to reset the play clock.
Oh, see, the Seattle crew forgot to set the clock up there in the Seattle booth? Boy, that's a surprise.
So they didn't get their full amount of time, and then the clock ran out, and they got called for a delay of game, and that backed it up another 5 yards.
Right, and see, this is how these guys up in the booth earn their bagels.
Is that it?
That's it. Look, everybody's going to say, oh, the crowd is so loud that I can't hear what I'm doing up there in the time booth. I don't know when to press a button, when not to press a button. Everybody makes excuses. Point being, There's too much fishy shit that happens up there with the referees. Too much fishy shit happens with this particular team.
Fishy, fishy.
Yeah, the fucking refs. They're fucking up games. They are fucking up games. And I'm glad this is a podcast and not on the air because I can say they're fucking up games. They're fucking up games left and right. Honestly, that game, all right, I don't like either one of those teams. They're neither one of them are anywhere close to the division my team is in. The Seahawks have a bit of a, you know, you're starting to look at playoff pictures and where teams start to filter, but the Bills have no effect on that. But I'm looking forward to that game more than any game yet this year that was in primetime other than, you know, my team, because it looked like a great battle. It looked like a really good battle against two teams that were coming rolling on. And the refs fucked it up. It was a great first half until they fucked it up.
And you got Rex and Rob on the sideline.
Dude, I thought Rex Ryan was going to spit his false teeth right in that referee's face. Oh, my God. I thought I was laughing. I was like, Max, look, they're going to come out. They're going to come out.
Well, did you hear about the tweet sent out by Dan Carpenter's wife?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She put up that picture of a thing that you use to castrate a bull.
Yeah, she, Kayla Carpenter, she tweeted, "I know what we do on the farm when a male can't control his own rage. Hashtag lucky I'm not there. Hashtag Sherman. Hashtag act like an animal, get treated like one." And then, yeah, there's a picture of the tool used to castrate animals because, you know, farm animals, they were castrated to stem their aggression.
Well, the fact of the matter is her husband is going around kicking defensive backs in the ribs. She later apologized, and he refused to accept it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, he said, with all respect, fuck off. Your husband kicked me in my ribs.
Okay, one more thing from that game before we move on. Oh, my God, this is unbelievable. Man, dude, fans, I tell you, fans are, man, they can be rough. They can.
It's short for fanatics.
So, well, yeah. Yeah. And you know the Bills, the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if you remember this or not, but
don't they throw dildos on the field?
Well, yeah, but their special teams, their special teams quality control coach, John,
right,
is Catherine Smith.
Well, that's a funny name for a guy.
It's not a guy, and a Seahawks fan at the game was yelling to Catherine, and this is what he was yelling. We have the audio. Oh, man.
Did she look like the waitress?
No.
Oh, well, so there you go. Then no. He was probably being a misogynistic asshole.
She looked like a coach with long hair.
She should have brought him a Gatorade and then asked him to come down and get it and throat punched his ass.
Oh, I would have loved that.
People are assholes, Tom. That's all I can say about it. People are assholes. But see, you like listening to assholes like us because we don't yell at people like they're waitresses.
Well, you know, as funny as he thought he was, this Seahawks fan, as he's walking, he's up to the railing of the front row down by the tunnel where she's walking, yelling this. I mean, he's there to yell this at her specifically. And there's another Seahawks fan who was a girl sitting there, smacks the dude, telling him to get away.
So we're going to rule out that this was a mistake. He you know, he usually doesn't buy his beer down there where the team comes out of the tunnel.
He was being a douchebag, man.
Oh, just checking. Waitress! Can I have a Pepsi, please? Assholes.
Jesus.
Assholes. I know. People are assholes, man. They really are.
Yeah, fans are crazy. Here, I got another one. This one's yelling at Tommy Tuberville. He's now the head coach at the University of Cincinnati Bearcats.
Yeah, Cincinnati. Whatever. Okay. I always like his name. I think his name sounds like he should be on Broadway.
Tommy Tuberville.
Anne Hathaway and Tommy Tuberville in There Goes My Pants.
Well, they lost at home 20-3 to BYU, and Tuberville's leaving after the game. He's getting, you know, he's walking into the tunnel, and here's a frustrated fan yelling at him. So this guy's yelling, "Hey, Tommy, you're stealing. You're stealing from this university." And he's yelling, "Hey, go to hell. Get a job," Tuberville was.
The guy should yell back, "I have a job. I'm the district attorney. We're going to indict you in the morning for stealing from this fucking university."
He's like, "You're stealing, Tommy. Yeah, go cash your check." And he said it again, "Get a job."
He didn't realize that was the beer man.
And, of course, Tommy apologized.
Oh, God. Why do you go do that? See, that takes away all the luster of a good smackdown of a stupid fan. Go to hell, get a job. That's pretty good. I mean, really, there's not a whole lot else you can do there because you can't get up in the crowd. You can't do much else. And if you insult his mother, who knows? She might be a MILF and she's sitting next to him. It's not like Tommy Tuberville's got many other options, right?
Well.
You know the best thing about college football right now?
Your
Penn State Nittany Lions, baby. Number 10 and rising. Number 10 and rising. Saquon Barkley making a bid for the Heisman.
Yeah. That's all nice.
Yeah, it's awful nice. I love it, man. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's all nice.
I like it a lot.
All right. Somebody who should apologize, John, are the Cleveland Browns.
Yes, they should. Actually, they should apologize for making us watch them on Thursday Night Football.
The guys are trying as hard as they can.
It was so apparent last night.
You know, it's like, are they going to have the second winless season in NFL history? But one of their players guarantees.
Oh.
Guarantees it's not going to happen. This is linebacker Chris Kirksey.
It's the youngest team in the league right now. And I commend these guys for going out there and fighting. You know, we're going against some good teams. And not to have pity on us or, you know, not to, you know, you know, be sorry for us. We're a young team, and we accept it. You know, we accept the challenge. You know, we're not going to go 0-16. That's for a fact. We're not doing that. You know, so things are going to get on the roll, and, you know, we just got to keep fighting.
Now, he did say this right after they got beat by Dallas, so I understand why that was in his mind.
Hey, they had a lead at halftime last night.
Yeah, he said this before Thursday night's game against the Ravens.
Dude, what they really need to do is just leave at halftime. That's how they can guarantee they won't go 0-16. They're fine at halftime. They're fine at halftime a lot. What I liked was it goes right along with the "we're trying, we're really trying hard." Is look, we're playing lots of good teams. Get this, compared to you, everybody's a good team.
Well, yeah, exactly. So, yeah,
they've played 9 great teams. Basically, they've played 9 great teams.
Well, yeah, remember Hugh Jackson after the Patriots game? That's the kind of team we want to be.
We want to be just like them.
Right.
See that guy over there? Come here. You're going to sit down here in the second half and look over there. That's Joe Flacco. Do you see him? See how stout how he stands there after he throws a touchdown?
Look, you know what? I saw last night that the Browns have their name written on their pants.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So do they mean they have Thursday like written in the fucking seam of their jockstrap? What the hell? Do they have to know?
Oh, shit. We were the Browns.
I think Dallas could have easily hung 50 on them, man.
Dude, I think anybody can if they want to.
Well, here, Hugh Jackson, he's going to take all the blame, just like, now you remember, I want you to think about Rod Marinelli.
Oh, yeah.
It was all him, remember? It's
he's getting ready to get in hallowed ground here.
It's just as he planned it now, remember?
That's right, we've been working for this.
Here we go.
It's not just about the defense, it's me. Starts with the coaching. It's a top-down deal, so we're not going to go there. It's not about that. No, we're not playing well. Not playing well right now any place. So it's not just defense, it's offensively and special teams. So I'm not going to just dump on one group. I mean, we got to play better as a team. We're not playing good enough, and that's what it is.
I won't go in your tank. You got a tank, you're in the tank, I will not join that.
I'm not going to dump on one group, except that you can just call us the Cleveland Browns, and we are one group. It starts from the top down, which means my boss from me down onto the floor. Holy shit, we have the worst janitor in the league.
You are a factory of sadness!
Boy, it's never been more true.
We are not playing well.
That's the understatement of the goddamn year. Holy shit, we're not playing well.
Listen, it's not just the offense, Tom. It's not just the defense. We suck in all 3 phases of the game. And it's not really my fault. I'm trying my best. We're trying so hard. Those guys are out there. They're fighting their guts out, trying their best. But, you know, we've got this guy in the front office who manages baseball teams. And I'm like, that's great, man. Well, you can hit the slider, but can you pick up the goddamn linebacker on the blitz? And, well, he tries.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
God. I think they can do it. Who do they have left? Let me check their schedule here.
Maybe there's a chance.
I think there definitely is. Let me see their schedule here. So actually, you know, I'm going on NFL.com. So people, if you hear a commercial start, sorry.
Well, they got the division again. They still got to play everybody in the division a second time.
All right, so that's 3 games right there. What do we? They got 6 left. So here we go, schedule.
They've got to play the NFC East. So whoever they haven't
Dallas.
Played.
They've played Philadelphia. They've played Washington. They still got the Giants, I guess.
Okay.
All right, so they got the Steelers left, the Giants, the Bengals, the Bills, the Chargers, and the Steelers. And, yeah, see, a commercial started. Fuck you, NFL.com. Sorry about that, everybody that heard that commercial start.
All right, let's move on to your cornerback. Josh Norman, man. They're talking to him about how he plays the game, and his response is priceless.
Do you have to change anything about the way you're playing since you are under a microscope and you're the most penalized cornerback in the league? They are looking for you.
They are, but at the same time, what am I going to change? My aggressiveness?
Yeah.
My bestiality when I'm out there? What? No.
Wait, wait a minute. What did he say? Did he say what I think he said?
My bestiality when I'm out there?
My bestiality when I'm out there.
What am I not going to change? Am I going to change the fact? I can't help it. I look at a cow. It's sexy. You want me to stop fucking a dog in this scrumble?
The scrumble!
What you want me to change? I go home at night, I think about getting in this scrumble with the sheep. Jesus Christ. He gets up there on the line of scrimmage and says to the wide receiver, I'm gonna fuck you like a guinea pig, boy. I'm gonna wear you like a muff.
Holy shit.
Sounds like a personal foul. Illegal use of hands, number 24. Hands to the God knows what. That the Jesus Christ.
Come on, bestiality when I'm out there.
We get Jeff Triplett. He'll be up there like 15 yards, animal husbandry, number 24. He's in there. He's in there giving that chicken the business. you can hear Jay Gruden in the press conference tomorrow. We tell him not to fuck the chickens out there, but he gets in the heat of battle.
All right, so.
Oh, my God.
You know, this is nothing new here. Running back from the Saints, Mark Ingram. You know, we've heard this stuff before. Remember Lindale White?
Yes.
Oh, man. You know, you can hear players sometimes on the sideline yelling stuff.
Well, this guy was not on the sidelines. He was in the end zone. He ran straight to the parabolic microphone. He ran straight to it and yelled this in it.
And, you know, the NFL said they were going to make players stop, you know.
Yeah, remember we had a whole show about it, basically.
Yeah.
You're going to police language.
This is what he said. Now, this is right after he busted what was like a 75-yard touchdown.
75-yard run on the 49ers defense.
Here we go.
And Mark Ingram is going all the way for a Saints touchdown. 75 yards.
Now, I don't know what he said at the beginning. I've listened to it so many. At first, I thought he said there's something wrong with these.
What's wrong with these niggas, man?
But it's not. It's something different.
I know what he said, because did you see the play?
No, I didn't see it when it happened.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was watching Red Zone. They showed the play, and I think what he's doing is he's looking at them, and seriously, he wonders if they're all hurt, because he ran right through them like they weren't even there.
What's wrong with these niggas, man?
But I can't understand the first three words he's saying.
What the fuck's wrong with these niggas, man?
Oh.
What's wrong with these niggas, man?
Well, okay, well, I did wonder that, too, but I didn't understand. It's like, is he saying, man, they're not tackling me. There is something wrong with these folks. See, they are not tackling me.
Say, how come this hole is so big?
There's some.
Gosh, there doesn't seem to be anyone touching me.
What's wrong with these niggas, man?
I think perhaps they might need medical attention. Hey, do you realize this, Tom? This was an opportunity missed for the enemies of this nation. Right then and there, that weekend, the San Francisco 49ers, New Orleans Saints, and Oakland Raiders defenses were all in the Bay Area. That is when you attack. North Korea, you blew it. You could have come right on shore. Nothing would have stood in your way. Especially the 49ers. My God, they're terrible.
Man, don't you hate when your team's on a bye week?
Yes, I do, and it's almost over. I'm very happy about that. I've got like 30 hours till I get to watch the Redskins play the Minnesota Vikings and smash that little stupid-looking goddamn Sam Bradford right in his ugly head.
Boy, your tune has changed about your defense over the course of the first half of this season.
I'm starting them right now. Heather beat my ass last week. It's the first time I've lost three in a row now in the fantasy league, and that's the first time I've lost... that I've lost. And I didn't score jack dick nothing because I expected the goddamn Raiders would throw the ball, but no! For the first time, they run the fucking ball.
See there? Anyway. See, look at that. Look at that.
What?
Donald Trump got elected president, but a woman still beat you at fantasy football. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's fine.
No, she knows what she's doing.
Anyway.
That's the first real loss I've suffered. Everything else has been by minuscule amounts of points. I think I lost to you by less than 1 point. Something like 0.4.
That was anyway. Tyler. That was Tyler that beat you by 4 yards.
Yeah, you beat me by like next to nothing either. But either way, I've lost to everybody in your household. God damn it. Gotta fix that shit.
Hey, man.
But this week I'm starting the Redskins defense.
Now, wait a minute. You have oh, my God, you are such a homer.
I don't have them all in for right now. They're just for people to look at.
You are such a homer. I just realized you have the best fantasy defense in football.
Yes.
The Minnesota Vikings, but you're going to bench them and start the Redskins defense this week.
And you know why?
Because you're a homer.
No, here's why. I'm going to go ahead and explain myself.
You're going to be sorry you did that.
It's only Friday. I might change my mind.
Yeah, you're going to be sorry.
If you look at the Redskins defense over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, they've been smacking the shit out of quarterbacks. They've been creating fumbles. They've been taking the ball away. They've been scoring points. And even though the Vikings defense has been scoring points, the Redskins offense controls the football. They do it every week, week in and week out. So I'm banking on the Redskins offensive line holding their defensive line out of my quarterback's face because I'm starting Cousins as well.
Yeah, but the Redskins haven't played anybody.
Margins are so tight, Tom. I got to start Cousins, so I can't be a homer there because Derek Carr's on a bye. Otherwise, I'd be starting Cousins.
I understand.
So, even though he fucked me last week.
Ah.
Are the Raiders real?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so. But dude, they say defense wins Super Bowls, right? Defense wins championships. They don't have one. They got Khalil Mack and nothing.
You know what wins championships? Lines. And the Raiders have the second best offensive line in the league.
Dude, when they beat the Broncos, that was a slobber knocker. And William Penn invented Philadelphia. But Donald Penn, the left tackle, said that they ran only 2 run plays the entire second half.
Yeah.
They just did the same thing again and again and again, and you got to respect that.
Yeah.
So all you Raider fans that are listening to this show and like to pick on me on the goddamn Facebook, you can stop now.
Yeah, they're for real, man. They get to rest this week. And
yeah, well, you know, I personally, I know that the players like the bye week. Frankly, as a fan, I can deal without it. I don't like it. I want my football at 1 o'clock on Monday. I don't care how many of you are hurt, what's going to happen to you after your career. Get the fuck out there.
1 o'clock on Monday?
On Sunday. See, now look what happened. I'm all out of discombobulation.
Maybe we should go to break.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Bang Radio.
I have some rules changes I would like to suggest. I think there are some changes we could make in certain sports that would make them more exciting, you know? Like in football, I would let all 45 guys play at the same time. You know, what's the standing around watching the game? Get in there, put a helmet on, and hurt somebody. You're not getting paid to watch. And never mind lining up. Just grab the ball and run like a you know? Another thing I would do in football, I would leave the injured on the field. Well, they're always talking about how it's a big war going on out there. Fine, let the Red Cross come around and pick these up. Here's how I'd change basketball. You could make basketball a lot quicker. You know what you do? You have a 2-second shot clock. As soon as that ball is inbounds, get that up in the air. I didn't come to watch a game of catch. I'm looking for a 400 or 500 point ball game. I'm a fan. I want 6 overtimes and 1,000 points on the board. Another thing I would do for basketball at the center court line, for 10 feet on either side of the center court line, I would have a gasoline fire. You talk about the fast break, you'd see the really fast break. Here's another suggestion for basketball. I would allow 25 points for any ball that goes in the basket off another guy's head. You'd see some good fights during those close games, I'll tell you. And you'd increase the chance for serious injuries. That's what I'm looking for, injuries. That's what I like about sports. I don't care who wins these games. If I want to see winners, I'll watch the Academy Awards. I'm an American. Give me a little violence and I'm a happy guy. Most people won't admit that. Most people won't admit that. They'll say, well, I like the competition. Yeah, like Hiroshima, right? Well, now getting back to how we can improve these sports and speed them up. You know, baseball needs a little speeding up. You know how you speed up baseball? Everybody gets one swing. That's it. One swing. You're out. Sit down. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Sit down. Come on. Let's go. The here's another thing that makes baseball a lot faster. If the pitcher hits the batter with the ball, batter's out. You hit 27 guys, you got yourself a perfect game, my friend. You get two really good, accurate pitchers out there, and you could be out of that ballpark in 15 minutes. You could be home watching football on TV and see some serious injury.
VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
It's a new day, and we have a new president. Things are really going to change for the better. In fact, it's going to rain lemonade and snow candy canes from now on. Women's tatas will be fuller, and men's schwanzes will be girthier. It's a bright new beginning. We're all going to be millionaires. Scratch that. Billionaires. And all the enemies of this country will stop bothering us because we're a new America. Obviously, I'm joking. America. Same crap, different president.
Hi, this is Pam Stone. You might remember me as Coach Judy Watkins from the TV show Coach, or you might remember me from your local unemployment office. Anyway, you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
Right now, a historic moment. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Donald Trump wins the presidency. The business tycoon and TV personality capping his improbable political journey with an astounding upset victory. Donald J. Trump will become the 45th president of the United States, defeating Hillary Clinton in a campaign unlike anything we've seen in our lifetime.
We're going to get to work immediately for the American people. And we're going to be doing a job that hopefully you will be so proud of your president. You'll be so proud. Again, it's my honor. It was an amazing evening. It's been an amazing two-year period. And I love this country. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, let's see what he does, man. Let's see what he does.
I can't do anything but laugh. I mean, you know what?
It's like Nero fiddling, aren't you?
No, here's the thing. You know who summed it up best, believe it or not, was Megyn Kelly on Fox News at the end of the night. She goes, I will never believe any poll I read again, ever.
Dude, I never believe any of them anyway, and I never have, and people always sneer at me because I tell them there's no fucking way that you can tell me that calling 1,000 people is indicative of 300 million, for one. And for two, dude, it depends where you call, when you call, what you ask, and how you ask, that you can get whatever answer you want.
I know.
And have you gotten the poll call?
No, I didn't get any.
You've never gotten poll calls? I get Gallup calls me all the fucking time. You know what I do? I hang right the fuck up on them.
I have in the past. I didn't get one for this election. I don't know maybe it's because I don't have a landline anymore. I don't know if they call cell phones.
Well, no, because if you don't have a landline, they're not going to get you.
Okay.
But that's surprising because you are in Battleground, Ohio.
I got a ton of mail, I can tell you that.
I'll bet.
I got bombarded with political mail. My God, I'm so glad it's over.
I wish I'd have thought, if I had some software that could record my phone call, and I don't even know about the legality of this, but Max cracks up all the time. Dude, I swear to God, when these people call me, depending on the mood I'm in, I'll be answering the phone like, Frippin' Smoop, I'm a hey, Frippin' Smoop, the pay, and they'll say, dude, they'll ask me my name. I'll say, Frippin' Smoop. And they'll say, I'm sorry, could you please tell me your name? And I go, I'll say, Frippin' Smoop. And every time they ask me my name, I get more and more pissed off. I'll be saying, Frippin' Smoop. Oh, goddamn, clip out of your whack out of your ear. Right? Max dies.
If you can record a phone call, now think about it. They're calling you. You're not calling. It's not
right.
Like you're calling them and recording them. They're calling you. And what happens when you call businesses all the time? This call may be recorded for quality assurance. So here's what you do, John. Here's what you do. When you get that call, answer it, and assume when you answer it, say, hello, I'm recording this to do anything I want with it. Can I help you?
Exactly, right. And then I could do the Matt Millen thing there, and they could say, what's your name? And I could go, what?
Yeah, so do that, and then as long as you said that, and if they start talking, then that's their consent.
All right. This sounds like some Jerky Boys stuff, but hey, they got rich and famous for 5 minutes.
Hey, these could
they
be.
They still have 10 minutes left.
You know, if you're messing with them, doing voices, man, this could be really funny. Yeah.
I do Fred Smoot when they call up all the time. And I get all mad when they can't understand me. I've been saved. I've been doing to Fred Smoot.
All right. So I will go ahead and say this. I did not vote for Donald Trump. I did not vote for Hillary Clinton. And I can say that. And
well,
I don't.
You know what I think?
We've been talking politics on this. Hey, you know what now? This is. Let's see. We did our first show in 2005. 2005 was right. Our first show. So there was this one, 12, 8. Okay, so we weren't doing the show in 2004. So this is our third election that you and I have covered.
Right. We've covered it, Tom. Here we are down at the bottom of the pit here. We're covering the election. Excuse me, Mr. Trump, can you say something with any kind of sense whatsoever?
I still stand by what I always say. Neither one of them or any of the other ones give a damn about any of us. Period. End of story. Nah. To me, that was, that's why Donald Trump is the president. Because even people who don't like him, I remember he said, I could shoot somebody in the middle of the street and people would still vote for me. He did say that, and he probably was right. Now, I don't know if he could go that far and do it.
Dude, they've got him in a civil court for raping a 13-year-old. Whether it's true or not, we'll find out. And people still voted him to be president.
I mean, it's nuts. But I think that's...
It is nuts.
That's just a testament to how sick and tired people are of the status quo in Washington, D.C., and this two-party system never getting a goddamn thing done.
See, here's the thing, though. When they tell me that they vote for Donald Trump because he's not establishment, I don't know where the fuck they figure he's not establishment. He participates in the establishment, and he's got Newt Gingrich right next to him. For God's sakes, that dude is as establishment as they get. The whole thing, there's contradictions all over the whole thing.
But what it is that the Republican Party doesn't want him either.
Well, they got him now.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? Is he's mad at all of them. I think he might have the best chance to really shake up this two-party system, and I don't know,
well,
man.
Well, I appreciate your optimism, Tom. I really do. Me, I'm not sharing in that optimism so much, because what I'm worried about is not necessarily him, because I think he is a bit blown away by it. I think he's a bit blown away by, oh, shit, all of a sudden, really, I really am.
God.
It's the people that he's going to put next to him. That's what makes me nervous. Somebody hide Michelle Bachmann's fucking phone number. Somebody hide Alan West's fucking phone number.
Well, the other thing is he's not doing this for the money. There's no, he's going to lose money being president.
Yeah, there's no money in it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. He's he could be making money at his business. His daughter's going to be running the business while he's president. So I mean, that all that aside,
there's no money in it now.
Right. Well,
there's
tons
of money in it after. Barack Obama's going to get filthy fucking rich doing lectures, even if he doesn't even want to. They're going to back money trucks up to him.
But is he going to have billions?
Billions?
Yeah, he's not going to.
I don't know that Donald Trump does. We've never seen his tax return.
Oh, I don't know. God. Have you been debating with people?
No, I haven't been debating with people. I really have been trying to stay out of it. As a matter of fact, I announced on my Facebook page about 3 months ago that I valued people that I know better than arguing with idiots that I don't. So I stopped talking about politics almost altogether. I did. I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. People can say whatever they want. My main concern is I think that there are factions at work in this country that are not necessarily right or left from our perspective that are definitely trying to tip us over, burn this place down, and we're making it easy for them. So everybody settle down, breathe.
And that's why I keep saying it. I've always said it. The president, the vice president, the Senate, all the entire Congress, all of them, are puppets. They're nothing but puppets for the billionaires. That's the truth. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I get that. But see, right now, you see these riots, right? You see these gigantic protests.
It's unbelievable, man.
Right. But you know what? We also know, dude, I mean, seriously, we have enemies that are outside of this country. We have plenty of enemies within it that are in for the money. I don't want to point the finger at the media, but I'm pointing the finger at the fucking media.
Of course.
They love the blood makes money.
Yeah.
But we do have enemies. How hard is it to get into a crowd of angry people and incite them?
Oh, I know.
You know? So everybody set back. Everybody set back, because we could very easily be played into doing something disastrous. Just set back, let the process play out, and that's that.
It's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Anyway.
Fuck it. Let's get back to some football.
I didn't really want to get into all that. You know,
I promised to fire Roger Goodell. God damn it. I had $20 on the goddamn Giants last week, and they failed to cover because of a 15-yard penalty. You fucking asshole. Yeah. I am coming for you. Signed, at real Donald Trump.
I didn't want to get that deep into that as far as Trump goes.
You can't help it these days.
I know. But the thing with Trump, the reason what it was Bill Belichick wrote him a letter and he read it. And I want to play Trump reading this letter that he was written by Bill Belichick.
So he writes, Coach Belichick, congratulations on a tremendous campaign. You have dealt with an unbelievable slanted and negative media and have come out beautifully.
Beautifully?
You've proved to be the ultimate competitor and fighter. Your leadership is amazing. I have always had tremendous respect for you, but the toughness and perseverance you have displayed over the past year is remarkable. Hopefully tomorrow's election results will give the opportunity to make America great again. Best wishes for great results tomorrow, Bill Belichick.
Wow.
This is Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots. He's won 3 Super Bowls. How? He cheated. He even got caught cheating, and nobody cared. Bill Belichick proved that in America, it's okay to cheat. As long as you cheat your way to the top.
Right.
Hey, I don't want to be called a cheater.
No, no. If you cheat and fail, you're a cheater. If you cheat and succeed, you're savvy.
This is bullshit.
You're president.
I don't want to waste my time learning to cheat.
Go ahead. The door's right there. Bye-bye. Have fun. We will miss you. Bye-bye. How do I reach these kids?
We will miss you.
How do I get to you in my cabinet?
I'd like to read this note that I was given by Bill Belichick. He says I have good hair. He says here I have a good suit. I have a nice tie. My shoes are tied properly. He says I've got a hot wife.
Belichick was doing a press conference this week, and he commented about the letter that he wrote to Trump. Now he came out and he knew they were going to ask him about it. So he comments, he says, he makes this comment, and then he says that I'm not going to answer any questions about it. He's going to tell you, and then it's time to talk about the Seattle Seahawks. And this is how that went.
I've received a number of
inquiries
relative to a note that I wrote to Donald on Monday. Our friendship goes back many years, and I think anybody that's spent more than 5 minutes with me knows I'm not a political person. My comments are not politically motivated. I have a friendship and a loyalty to Donald. A couple weeks ago, we had Secretary of State Kerry in our locker room. He's another friend of mine. Can't imagine two people with more different political views than those two.
For sure.
But to me, friendship and loyalty is just about that. It's not about political or religious views. I write hundreds of letters and notes every month. Doesn't
really
mean I agree with every single thing that every person thinks about politics, religion, or other subjects. But I have multiple friendships that are important to me, and that's what that was about.
Coach, were you happy or annoyed that Trump read the letter?
Seattle.
But your team's always been good at keeping outside distractions on the outside. Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Did you find it?
Seattle.
Did you find it helpful to talk
Seattle.
To players about this? Did any of your players talk to you about this?
Seattle.
Concerns about any locker room rancor as a result of this?
Seattle.
Why does the guy keep asking the question? Again, here we are with this dumbass media. Again, he just keeps going, and he keeps going. Seattle. Seattle.
Seattle. Because he gets paid by the question. He's a peace worker.
Another guy starts asking a question, and he's still going, Seattle. And the guy, God, it's so stupid.
You know what, though, Tom? I'll give Donald Trump this. It's, I think that, what's her name, is the first mail-order bride to ever be first lady, right?
Oh, shit.
Right? And I tell you what, this is the first time that I am ever 100% sure of the color of the first lady's nipples.
Yeah.
For which we have to thank Eleanor Roosevelt for never taking any racy photos.
His lifestyle is going to take a downgrade.
Oh, yeah, well, who cares? You think so?
Yeah.
I have a goddamn 747 that can launch nuclear weapons.
Dude, they said his jet's nicer than Air Force One.
Eh, whatever. His jet can't fucking do what he's got. He's got the most powerful job in the world.
Right? No, I understand that, but I'm talking as far as luxury goes.
I guess. Luxury. Well, honestly, seriously, when you get up to being that fucking rich in that goddamn atmosphere, how much luxury do
I need underpants that caress my balls with feathers?
John, we talk to Jerry Jones all the time. You know those rich guys can't get enough of their luxury.
I just wonder how much there has to be. Does it really feel different shitting in a golden toilet?
Oh.
But see, Tom, he's not an elitist. He just shits in gold toilets.
Oh, he's an elitist. He's definitely an elitist.
Oh. Yeah. He's not a conformist, but Newt Gingrich is right there at the top.
Oh, Newt. Oh, my God.
Hey, let's go out and get some broads.
Woo!
Boy, John, if he screws up, the Republicans will not have another president for 50 years.
Oh, you know what? Every 8 years I hear that one party's dead or the other party's dead. You know. So I just hope there's not a whole lot of people dead before this is all over. Everybody right now needs to settle down because, honestly, there are people out there that would love to see us go to war with each other.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Why do you think the goddamn ISIS was videotaped cheering his goddamn election? Because he knows. They know, hey, you guys are ready to kill yourselves. Fucking A.
Yeah, but look, there's also a lot of bad information out there, a lot of crazy talk, and there's
90% of it.
Two communities I would like to address just real quick, and that is the Hispanic community and the LGBT community.
So wait a minute. I'll do the translations.
Calm down. Quit worrying. Donald Trump has no care in the world or interest in dissolving your same-sex marriage or preventing your same-sex marriage, and he's never going to be able to deport anybody. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's not. So quit worrying about it.
Everybody settle down. Nothing's going to happen to you or anybody that lives in your house.
Nobody's going to get broken up. Nobody's going to get thrown out on the street.
Nope.
You're still going to live with Brad, and everything's going to be wonderful.
But if you're going to live here and work here, you're going to fucking pay taxes.
Well, I got it with you damn straight. I do. Fucking A, I do.
Trump, that includes you, damn it.
Now you're in charge. You can't go giving me that 35 years and you didn't change the laws excuse. Fix that shit because you know you fucked it over.
Yeah, you sat there.
That's what that said to me.
Yeah, you ripped Hillary apart. He sat there and he told Hillary, you've been a career politician for 30 years. What the hell have you done? Now you're going to fix all this. What have you been doing for 30 years? Well, now you're there, Donald, and you have all the answers. So, yeah, let's see it.
You got to show it.
Let's see it.
Yep. Put up or shut up.
You know, all these protesters, you prove them wrong. Prove them wrong.
Well, you know, the way I see it is I think he could probably be pragmatic. I just really worry. I want to see what the cabinet's going to be. Anyway, we've spent way too much time on this.
No, we got more. We've got...
Jesus Christ. I'm so tired of Donald Trump already.
No, we got Trump talking about Tom Brady telling him that he voted for Donald.
I thought I would give you this information. They've told me I can do it, so I will do it. Tom Brady.
Yeah, Tom Brady. Famous great star of the Italian Beach.
Great guy, great friend of mine, great, great champion, unbelievable winner. He called today and he said, Donald, I support you, you're my friend, and I voted for you. And I want to tell you, this guy is a champ and he is a winner and he is a great person. So I said, so Tom, you voted for me. You support me. Am I allowed to say it tonight to this massive crowd in New Hampshire? He said, if you want to say it, you can say it. Okay? Tom, that's what a champ is all about.
I got to give it up to Brady for saying, hey, if you want, I'll stand by it.
I could shoot somebody, Donald. Nobody's going to give a fuck. I'm Tom Brady.
He's a great guy. He knocked up one supermodel while he married the other. You can't give any better credit than that. The guy puts it everywhere. My friend. perennial Super Bowl, sit on the ground and hold your head wondering why you lost again. The winner, Tom Brady.
Now, I did say I got to give it up to Brady for saying, yeah, go ahead and say it.
But, yeah, really.
But then when the media got in his face, it was a different story. Listen.
Why did you give Trump permission to talk about your political preferences at that rally in New Hampshire in front of a national audience?
Why did I give him permission? So you're assuming I gave people permission?
Okay, you caught that, right? Trump said he gave him permission. So now listen.
He gave me permission. I have it in triplicate right here.
Yeah, and you know, Tom's dancing around it. That's why he said that. He's not saying I didn't give him permission, but he's, you know what I mean? He's twisting it around. So here comes the follow-up.
He's trying not to say, shut up.
Right, here comes the follow-up.
Did you not give him permission to talk about your political preferences?
I'm just going to talk about football.
I'm just going to talk about football.
Fact-checking here. You did support Trump, correct? Because... Just
want
to make sure that.
Yeah. I talked to my wife. She said I can't talk about politics anymore. So I think that's a good decision.
Good.
Maybe for our family.
Oh, I asked the boss and she said no.
No. She said absolutely not. I can't talk about any politics. But you guys saw her walk 190 yards in the Olympics, right? The whole world watched my wife's ass, right? He should have just done the same thing Bill did and just gone to Seattle. Seattle.
Right.
Given the nature of this presidential race,
Seattle.
Helpful to talk
Seattle.
To players about this? If any of your players talk to you about this,
Seattle.
Concerns about.
Answer me this. What is the question the guy is asking? Because I can't really. I'm just listening to Bill. Is he asking him about the political thing?
Yeah, he's saying. He said, you know, you guys have always been great at keeping out distractions. Has this election been a distraction?
Really? Is it a distraction? You're kicking the shit out of everybody since Brady got back. You've lost one game. You're looking once again like a Super Bowl favorite. Is this a distraction?
He should have said, well, yeah, it's distracting our opponents, obviously.
Holy shit. No, it distracted us one time, and you know, that Rex Ryan got lucky, and you see what we did to him 2 weeks later, right?
Well, you know, Brady says he can't talk about it. Jerry Jones, he said he can't talk about the election.
I can't afford to have any output there. The most important thing that I have is the Dallas Cowboys and the fans that are there. And I know both these candidates individually, we're going to be fine either way this thing goes, in my opinion.
In his opinion, we're going to be fine, John. Any way this goes, we're going to be fine because I own the Dallas Cowboys, and it is a guaranteed multi-million dollar moneymaker every year, and I'm going to be rich. So I really don't give a shit.
Nope, not at all. Let me tell you something. My biggest concern is that Donald builds that goddamn wall, and I got to start hiring white people because they ask for more money.
Jesus.
You know, stadium staffers are a lot easier when you can just smuggle them in by the buttload. And look, no matter what happens, I'm going to be just fine. While y'all kill yourselves over the last goddamn drops of fresh water, I'll fly by in my helicopter and show you porn on my 5 TV.
Yeah, he's sitting there looking at the government going, oh, look, it's been 4 years. I get a new crop of puppets.
I wonder how much this one's going to cost.
I can't accuse him of anything like that. Jerry's never really shown me to be anything kind of political like that, except that he lets Governor Christie in his box, and thankfully, a tribute to the Dallas construction industry that the box never collapsed.
Well, he's a billionaire in Texas. He's got to be a Republican.
Oh, I'm sure he is, and I'm sure he contributes greatly to the candidates he likes, but he keeps it under his belt, and you know what? I'll respect that. This is the thing about the whole election that bugs me the most, is it used to be considered the height of impropriety to ask somebody who they voted for. It was impolite. That's what I was taught when I was a kid. It's impolite. It's personal business.
You're absolutely right, John, and I learned it at a very young age, and I learned it from watching Peanuts, specifically. The Halloween episode.
Did you wait for the Great Pumpkin?
Linus said it. Listen.
There are three things I have learned never to discuss with people: religion, politics, and the Great Pumpkin.
Amen. That's it.
And they're all wrapped up in Donald Trump.
That's right. I am the greatest pumpkin.
See, I haven't heard him.
I have the best pumpkin.
I haven't heard him say anything about God. He's not running any kind of religion crap. He doesn't care.
No, he did a little bit about, I want to say, 3 or 4 months ago where he made the evangelical circle, and I distinctly got the impression that he was going, yeah, 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 Jesus, whatever.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right. He got his picture taken with Jerry Falwell Jr. Right next to a Playboy cover in his office. So I was like, yeah. You know, honestly, no offense to anybody out there, but Falwell's can drop dead like right now.
Right.
I don't, if you're, yeah, Jerry Falwell Jr., you can drop dead. All the rest of you Falwells, you're all right.
Well, speaking of politics and all of this stuff, did you hear about Colin Kaepernick?
Yes, I did. I heard about him.
See, if I don't vote, nobody gives a shit.
He's a conundrum wrapped in an enigma, Tom, all topped off with a gigantic afro.
I mean, if you don't vote, people are going to tell you, you know, it's...
You got nothing to say.
Well...
You can't say anything.
Yeah, and that's stupid.
Yeah, I've tended to side with Colin Kaepernick, but not necessarily agree with Colin Kaepernick.
Well, and that's what everybody says, and that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. You know... Not voting.
I think the issues are too complex.
Not voting, to say it's your American responsibility or your duty as an American, it's your also your American right not to vote, just like it's his American right to kneel during the anthem. But he does come off as quite a hypocrite because he says we need change, but then he goes, it wouldn't matter if I voted anyway.
Colin Kaepernick is one of 49.6% of this fucking country that didn't vote in probably the most important election of our collective lives right now.
You know what? I hear that every election.
I know, but you know what? We never elected Hitler before. I mean Donald Trump.
Oh, come on, John.
I know. Stop. I'm being way hyperbolic.
Stop.
I really am. I've just put myself on all kinds of watch lists.
Give me a break, man.
No, I know. Look, here's the thing. People always think that because I don't necessarily support the lunatic right that I'm a liberal, but I'm not. I'm an old school conservative.
Well, and anybody who's been listening to this show knows, even if you don't like Trump, some of the things he stands for, we are in agreement with, and you can't deny it. All you had to do is listen to this show over the years, because one of the things we have talked about, you know, constantly is the ongoing pussification of America.
fire goddamn Roger Goodell, you bastard, you promised.
Right. Exactly.
Right now.
And it's the country and the league, and, you know, Trump agrees with that. There's too much. I mean, everybody's so damn sensitive. Did you know Meijer, you know, the store, the big chain, the Meijer, it's got groceries, clothes, everything, that they had their plus size women's clothes separate from all the other clothes?
Right.
And they can't do that anymore. They got to put them all together so that the plus size. And I'm like, well, you're going to shut down Lane Bryant altogether? I mean, my God, man, really? Is this
Fredericks of Hollywood's got to go out of business?
This is like, it's just gotten to the point where it's like, folks,
it gets ridiculous. Of course, you know what they really needed to do in Meijer was just take down the big like cattle stall fencing that was around the plus size area. I think that would have gone a long way to placate them. Of course, if you're on the prowl like Josh Norman, you could go in there and practice your bestiality. And, you know, I say that and I make fun of that, and a lot of people are laughing and they're feeling really guilty because, let's face it, if you're an American and you're living in this country and you're 40 years old or more, your wife is probably a big fat cow. And so are you. This is the new America, Tom. We tell the truth around here. I've seen your wives. They're all in the Walmart, sitting on those carts.
I made a joke today. I saw all those protesters on TV, and I went, oh, you know what it is? They didn't get their participation trophies.
But I voted. How come nobody's congratulating me?
Oh, man.
I think that's kind of wrong. I think millennials get a bad rap, and I get tired of people. Dude, every fucking generation, from the first one on up, whether you believe it came out of some fucking guy's rib or whether you believe it finally stood up and said, hey, my back feels better. Every generation goes, you know what, these kids today, goddammit. Back in my day, we had to swing through the trees for our meals. These fucking kids, they get to walk around upright.
Yeah, but that's different from part. Man, come on now. You've sat here and railed against participation trophies with me.
Oh, I do. I don't like the participation trophies whatsoever. I'm just saying millennials in general, they get a bad rap. Let's face it. Whether anybody in the millennial generation goes out and votes, that's a general rule every generation. You know who goes and votes more than anybody? Your fucking grandparents.
Yep.
That's who goes and votes.
That's why. Right? That's why Trump's president.
He's gonna be great. I goddamn right. You know why he's gonna be great? Because his TV show was on before I went to bed.
All right. Well, anyway, we got way off topic here, which is Colin Kaepernick. But you know, you were ready to go off on him, and you decided not to. But let's let Stephen A. Smith go off on Colin Kaepernick.
Let a professional do it, Tom.
Colin Kaepernick is absolutely irrelevant. I don't want to see him again. I don't want to hear from him again. I don't want to hear a damn word about anything that he has to say about our nation, the issues that we have, racial injustices, needing change, etc., etc. He comes across as a flaming hypocrite. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not interested in a damn word that he has to say. And quite frankly, I hope he goes away. He's lucky to be in the league right now.
And then he starts.
Damn.
He starts. It's like he's addressing Colin as if he's standing in front of him.
Colin Kaepernick, after all this noise that you made, to turn around and not to even take your behind to the polls to
your
vote
behind.
For a particular candidate, it is shameful. Absolutely shameful. Him of all people, because of the position he took, because of the attention he brought to the issues, the fact that you don't even have the decency to go to the polls and activate yourself in this election, as our president said, is a damn shame. I don't want to hear another word from Colin Kaepernick. It's a waste of time. As far as I'm concerned, everything he said meant absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. I don't want to hear another damn word from him.
I'm done with him. He's done.
I'll tell you what, I can't argue with a goddamn word he said.
Nope.
Can't argue with a word. Because you know what? Even if you think your vote doesn't matter in the goddamn presidential election, if you look below that, everything else matters.
Well,
your congressional people matters. Your senators matter.
I don't care if people don't vote. It doesn't matter that his vote wouldn't matter. And maybe it wouldn't. If he'd have gone and voted, if he'd have gone and voted for Hillary, Donald Trump would still be president. That's true. That, you know,
no,
but
I can tell you this right now, Tom, through sources that I have, the whole thing was rigged. One vote would have swung it. But fucking Colin Kaepernick, or as Stephen A. would call him,
Kaepernick.
Well, okay, so, you know, the whole thing is he should have gone and voted for Hillary, and Hillary won California anyway. So that's what he meant when he said it wouldn't have mattered if he voted or not.
Right, I get it. I mean, you know, a lot of people say those kinds of things. What I voted for didn't really make any difference. I live in a blue state. Our blue state gives its electoral votes, believe it or not. Maryland gives its electoral votes to whoever wins a popular vote. We don't go by,
well,
that's what we do.
I live in a red state, but I live in a blue county, which is Franklin County, which is where Columbus is, the capital. And Hillary won Franklin County, blew it away. But, you know, she also won Cincinnati and Cleveland,
right,
and Dayton, so, and Toledo, I believe. But everything else went to Trump, so he got the state, and, mm-hmm, you know.
Hey, that's the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes. 49% of the people did not get out and vote. Now, whether that means that Hillary Clinton would be president now if they did, eh, who the fuck knows? Half of them might have gone out and voted for Donald Trump. But what I see when I look at these numbers is that fucking 25% voted for him and 25% or 24 and some percent voted for her. And it's like, this is what we guide ourselves with. You know, if everybody wants to say, I'm going to abstain because I don't like these candidates, damn, that's a lot of fucking people. But I can't think that that's what it is. People just can't be bothered. Colin Kaepernick has fucking practice. And I don't know why, because the 49ers can't play football.
It's every year, half of them don't vote. Every year.
How can people claim voter fraud when half the people don't vote?
Well, I do believe that people have just lost all faith in our government, and they're just like, you know what?
They don't think it counts.
They don't, well, they don't care. They just
they don't think it
they
counts.
They don't believe either side is going to do anything that they say. They know everybody lies. Everybody will say anything they can to get your vote, every politician. And they
I
just
think people don't think it matters.
They're just fed up with it.
Yeah.
I think, well, actually, I think less than that is I think people really honestly think that their single vote doesn't matter. And in a way, it doesn't. And a lot of people are bitching about the Electoral College. But you know what? It's got its purpose. Shut up.
But I don't think they believe that it will matter who the president is.
Nah, it really doesn't.
Okay, then what are we even talking about?
We'll find out, I guess.
Yeah,
God damn it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm betting my life doesn't change drastically because of Donald Trump.
I don't know. See, I'm in the news business, so I might end up hanging from a tree.
Oh, nah. My God.
Stop. We'll see what happens. It's not a matter of my life. You know, we're looking at our age. We're looking at future generations anyway. So I don't want to. I'm tired of talking about the fucking election. At this point, I'm ready for him to do something, man. Just get going. Let's go. Here we go.
All right, here we go. Let's talk about, yeah, I got to say it. Congratulations to the Chicago Cubs.
How doogly. The Chicago Cubs. We're back to baseball. Hot damn.
Wow.
Yeah, that was a great fucking series. What was it? When we did the show last time, wasn't it 3-1 Indians and the game was getting ready to start?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Cleveland. God told you. God told you. God damn it.
Well, I got this from Fox 32 in Chicago. You know, they had their parade on Friday, last Friday.
I've heard 5 million people were there. That's crazy. Did you see the video of when they opened the gates to go down and meet the team?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Of course, I've been in those kinds of scenes running onto concert fields, you know, gigantic shows and shit, trying to get down to the front.
Not 5 million.
Shit, my God, it's fun. Not 5 million, no.
Okay, well, this was, believe it or not, this was the 7th largest gathering in human history.
Really?
Yes.
How do they go about that?
Okay, well, you can file this under stats I never knew anyone kept.
See, but how do they get it?
All right. Here are the 10 largest gatherings in human history. At number 10.
Coming in at number 10.
I think it's the Hajj pilgrimage, Mecca, Saudi Arabia. You know.
Oh, yeah, that shit's crazy.
Yeah, right.
That shit's crazy. Oh, my God, that shit's crazy. Oh, I'm stuck in this gigantic crowd, and I'm going around a little circle, and I'm hoping I don't get trampled to death, but oh, I love the God! People do. They get trampled to death in that thing.
They had 3 million people at that.
Oh, that's crazy.
All right, believe it or not, 3.5 million people. That was in 2012. In 1994, John, 3.5 people gathered in Rio de Janeiro.
3.5 people?
3.5 million.
Oh, I was going to say, hey, Bob, how you doing? You met my friend Phil over here.
For a Rod Stewart concert.
A Rod Stewart concert? 3.5 million people? Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe it, man.
He paid off the government, and they said, everybody gets free gold.
Oh, my gosh. All right. And
3.5 million for Rod Stewart. They got there, and they went, what the fuck is this?
We had a three-way tie. I said the Cubs were 7th. It's listed like this. At number 8 with 5 million, 1970, the funeral of Gamal Nasser. He was the second president of Egypt. Then you had the Cubs at number 7 with 5 million. And then number 6, 1995 in the Philippines, World Youth Day, 5 million people.
In the Philippines?
Yeah.
It's amazing that place didn't sink. Can they even fit 5? Honest to God, how could they fit 5 million people in the Philippines?
Well, at number 5, also in the Philippines, in 2015, the Papal Gathering got 6 million people.
The Papal Gathering?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I have no idea.
The Papal, P-A-P-A-L or P-A-P-A-U?
P-A-P-A-L.
Papal Gathering. It's is it the Papal Gathering?
Papal. Is that it? Catholics? Papal? I don't know what it is. Papal?
It's a bunch of Catholics. They're showing up, hey, you know, that Pope, he's pretty cool. Yeah, but I wish I had some fucking elbow room here.
Papal, I'm an idiot.
You might be right. It might be a bunch of Samoans.
I have no idea. All right, at number 4 in 1989, 10 million people in Iran for the funeral of Ayatollah Khomeini.
Oh, yeah, remember they dumped him on the ground. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember
that's
they
right.
Opened, the casket fell open and he fell out.
Oh, my God. That's unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Yeah. This guy's a politician. It was 1969. It was his funeral in India. C.N. Anadurai.
Okay. It's not in my Rolodex.
15 million people at that funeral.
Look, India's got like 1.4 billion people as it is. I think there's 15 million people on any given street corner.
Right.
So, you know, as his funeral went by, there was like, oh, good, we got a big crowd. Look.
All right, number two, was in 2014, the Arbaeen Festival in Iraq, 17 million people. This is a, I don't know if I said that right, it's a religious gathering that marks the end of a holiday that marks the death of Muhammad's grandson.
Okay.
All right, and this.
Doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun.
This is at number one, it's another pilgrimage. The,
of course.
Oh, God. The Kumbh Mela pilgrimage. It's a Hindu pilgrimage where people bathe in a sacred river in India.
The Ganges, right?
I don't know.
The Ganges is the sacred river. It's the river of life. I thought you said it was a porn convention.
Well, this was India in 2013, 30 million people. So that could have been a porn convention.
In India, yeah. They call it Bollywood over there.
You know, 40% of the internet is porn, so 30 million, easy. Why not?
I don't know. Indian porn's pretty nasty, though. It's, they sing kind of funny. And they keep singing and running around in funny costumes. It's like, come on, get to the fucking.
Here's the one thing about all of the stuff on this list, all of these gatherings. The Chicago Cubs, the largest non-religious gathering in history.
People don't pray to the Cubs, do they?
I bet some of the people in Chicago do.
I'm sure they do. See, now, I want to know, when somebody is tabulating this list of the greatest gatherings, the most attended gatherings, do they factor in percentages? Like, for example, at one point, there was probably 1,000 human beings. If 500 of them got together, that's half the fucking population of the world, right? Yeah. If at some point, when you're talking about evolution, or even if you're one of those creationists that believe in that mumbo-jumbo, at some point, there's like a handful of human beings. If they're all sitting around in the same spot, well, there's the biggest gathering that's ever been.
All right. All right.
I don't know how that's going to help the Redskins win this weekend, but they're going to. Here we go. Wrapped it around the football. So, hooray for the Cubs. Go Orioles.
John is going to be unable to do a show in a week, but that'll be going in. That'll be the weekend before Thanksgiving.
Right.
And
we usually don't do a show on Thanksgiving.
No, you're going to be gone for a few days. So, what we're going to do is we're going to do a show on before Thanksgiving. So, it'll be after the next week's game. So, we won't have a show coming out next Saturday morning, but we'll do a show the following Wednesday. So, it won't. You know, you won't have to wait as long. And anything great that happens, we'll save it and include it in that next show. But so we're going to have...
Let's face it. The greatest thing that happens is us anyway.
We're basically... What it is you'll end up getting two shows over the next 3 weeks.
There you go. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. Already in Trump's America, life is better.
So many things interrupt us the previous 2 years, which really sucked. You know.
Right.
But yeah, this year all is good. So... So, yeah, it'll be about, it'll be like a week and a half before you get the next show. It's not that big a deal, right?
No, it's not. Especially when you consider we've been giving you like 10 extra minutes every damn week. So just put that together at the end, and you're getting your right. Regulated amount of Bang Radio Hour
right.
For the season. There you go. Because we've been bad on time. We really have. We haven't really given a shit about the time this year.
Well, one of us hasn't anyway.
That would be me.
All right. Well, we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Bang Cartoon Radio.